So today's daf in Masechet Eruvin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Tet, and we are holding at the bottom of Chet Amud Beit. We're right up to Bo Yimnei Rami Bar Choma Mirav Chista. But before we begin, let's just once again do our brief review. I'm not going to do the review in such detail like we did yesterday. That took quite a bit of time. But again, just to bring us up to date. So we've been talking about, first of all, the beginning of the Masechet. We started off looking at models for the height of Schach and Korah, which turned out strangely to have the same idea. They were related in their models, maybe models of the Beis HaMikdash, maybe just models of where the Torah calls something a petach. We went on to define how large is an Amma under what circumstances, because we needed to figure out the size of this Korah. Then we talked about Shiurim in general, that expanded into a long discussion. And then we finally got back to our Mavoi, which is where it all started. So our first thing of a Mavoi was the question of making the Mavoi ground level higher instead of moving the Korah, or making the Mavoi ground level lower instead of moving the Korah. And that led us into an understanding of, okay, how long does a Mavoi have to be in order for it to be actually a change in its relationship to that Korah? And that, of course, raised some of the questions that we talked about today. Almost by definition, that's where we were going to get to. Okay, then we were talking about, after that, the shapes of mavois. So we talked about a mavoi that was akum, and we talked about a mavoi that was mifulash, and we talked about a mavoi that was made like a centipede, and how it is that we would go about being matir, a mavoi that was mifulash, and according to Rav, who holds that a mavoi akum is, for all intents and purposes, a mavoi mifulash, how it is we would be matir then. And that got us to the big machlokas between the Tanakama, who holds you can use a tzurat ha-petach on one side, and then you just go take a typical mavoi, korah or a lechi on the other side, or Chananya. And Chananya said, well, it's machlokas by Jeremiah and Beit Hillel. So that because of that, we started discussing some specific cases about mavoim like that, and how they went ahead, in fact, and were matir, were they in Naharda, and the way they were machmir, like two shitas, and we started talking about you allowed to be machmir like two shitas. But again, the flow is very, very clear from the concept of Korah, its height, how we measure that height, how we measure the size of the mavoi, the depth of the mavoi, and the height of the mavoi as opposed to the height of the Korah, and then moving on to the question of what type of heters are for what type of mavois. Three styles of mavois we spoke about. And then we got onto the question of what about if there's no back end to a mavoi, and instead it sort of breaks into somebody's backyard or it breaks into a chutzer. And there we got into a lot of fascinating issues, which were really, it's going to turn out an introduction to ideas that we're going to have to think about. And that raised for the first time something that's going to become very, very important to us. It raised for the first time the question of whether something that is shove mibifnim and nira mibachutz, or we're going to see the opposite is also true, something is nira mibifnim and shove mibachutz, are those things acceptable mechitzas, or do they need to be seen on both sides? And what would the status be? That started that issue. Then we had yesterday a fascinating question in which do we also, when we make a takana, do we need to take into consideration possible changes in the geometry? So those kind of changes could be all kinds of things. It could be natural changes. How about a seawall silting up? And then you might lose one of your mechitzas that you were counting on. Do we have to take that into consideration? How about the possibility that someone will move a garbage dump, which is providing a mechitza, and then you've lost a mechitza? How about the question of whether an individual backyard may decide he wants to build a garage? And if he builds the garage, he may end up moving the wall of the garage all the way up to the break in the back end of your mavoi. And then all of a sudden it becomes usur because the mavoi appears to be extending all the way out on the other side. And that, we said, everybody agrees is usur to do. Those are the issues that we've raised until now. Now, we've started, and we're about to get into more detail, what I would call a long list of Korah issues. So we started the Korah issues yesterday, where we were talking about diagonals. Can a Korah be put on a diagonal? Can you use the area under a Korah? Now I want to know other things. I want to know, how about if I put the Korah sort of up in the air between the walls? How about if it's not attached to the walls? How about if it's jutting outside of the walls into the street and it's being held up by a couple of nails or pegs on the end? Remember that a Korah has to be a tefach. So if I use a metal piece or a bracket, an angle bracket, I could theoretically put the Korah right out in the middle of the street, hanging in front of the Mavoi, but then it wouldn't be between the walls of the Mavoi, and the brackets would not be considered to be part of the Korah because they're too thin. They're not a tefach, right? That's going to give us a lot of cases to come, and we start with that. Boimine Rami Bar Choma Mi Rav Chisda. So suppose you actually do put in some side brackets, and you were Na'at Shtei Yitedot B'Shnei Kotlei HaMavoi Mi Bachut. So you put these brackets into the walls so that they go out over the street, and now you put the Korah out in the street, in front of the walls of the Mavoi, instead of between the walls of the Mavoi. Oh, what's the din over there? Well, Marley, now you have this, Benny, put the pictures up for that, so it's a little hard for me to see something so small, but I'm sure it's there. So anyway, you can see it. It'll be marked Daf Ches Amud Beis. So what would be the din over there? So Rav Chisda said a fascinating thing to him. Remember that yesterday we had a question about whether you're allowed to carry under the Korah, right? Well, it turns out that that question, at least the last way we understood the machlokas, that question has every implication for what the situation over here would be. Because remember the last way that we looked at that question was, do we view the force field of a Korah, if you hold it, it's acting as a machitz, is it coming down on the inside of the Korah, and that would prevent you from using under the Korah, or is it coming back from the outside of the Korah? Now, that is going to define what the din over here is, because if you hold that you are not allowed to use the area under the Korah, then that would mean that the inner side of the Korah is the force field. So in this case, where the inner side of the Korah is up against the area right where the walls are, so it means you have a force field right in front of your Mavoi, and that would effectively seal it off. But in the event that you hold that you are allowed to use the underside of the Korah, then you're not allowed to use a Korah that's held outside on these brackets, because then you've got a gap between the force field and the end of your Mavoi. So it actually works in exactly the opposite. So the Divrei HaMatir Asur, so if you hold it's mutter to use the under part of the Korah, then you cannot use the outside force field. But L'divrei HaOser, the one who holds that you're not allowed to carry under Korah because the force field is on the inner edge, then over here the inner edge is up against your wall, and therefore when it comes down and covers the actual opening of the Mavoi. Rava says, that's ridiculous. Look, first, you got to decide if you have a Korah. Then you can decide if you have a force field, okay? You can't use the force field to be matir the Korah in the first place. Now, the din is that a Korah is supposed to be in a Mavoi, okay? And the Korah is not in the Mavoi. Don't give me this jazz about force fields. It's always usur. L'divrei usur nami usur, because first of all, do I have a Mavoi, a Korah? No, because be'inan Korah got my Mavoi v'leka. And forget it. Eitvei Ravada bar Masala Rava. This assertion of Rava, that Korahs by definition are only Korahs when they're inside the walls of a Mavoi, seems to be wrong, based on the following brisa, says Ravada bar Masala. Here it says, Aita Korah to. So suppose this guy has got a Korah, and his Korah is Mishucha Otluya. So it's pulled away from the walls of the Mavoi, or it's hanging between the walls of the Mavoi. So in other words, you put, let's say, a pole, and you put the Mavoi on a pole. The Mavoi doesn't come all the way up to the edge, but it's there, and you can see it, even though it doesn't touch the walls. And the first case seems to be exactly the case that you spoke about. You put it on a bracket, and you put the bracket up in front. It's sticking out into the street. So the din is like this. If it's less than 3 tefachim away, so then we say lavut. So then it's as if it's connected to the walls, and it's fine. And ain't tzarich lavi korah acheret. There's no need to bring another korah, because this one is okay. Once it's 3 tefachim or more, then it's no longer lavut. It's okay, now you don't have a korah, so you're going to have to bring another korah. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who all over says that the shiur of lavut is 4 tefachim and not 3 tefachim, obviously substitutes 4 for 3 in this case. So Shimon ben Gamliel, the idea is pachot mi arba in tzarech lavi, and arba or more tzarech lavi. Now I'm assuming, Rav, if you don't mind, let me explain why I see this as showing that you're wrong. I mean, the difference between mishucha and tuluya, I assume that mishucha means towards the outside, towards the street, so it means bibachutz, and tuluya means it's hanging between the walls, but it doesn't reach the end of the walls, right? I mean, is that what anybody would say? Says Rava, no, that's not what I would say. I would say, actually, that both of the words, the mishucha and the tuluya, are referring to a case where the Mavoi is inside the walls. That's because I hold that outside the walls is nothing to discuss, even if it's lavut. So if it's inside, the difference is that if it's mishucha, it means it's attached on one end, and on the other end, it's hanging in midair. And that is meshucha, means it's pulled away from his side. Tuluya means it's hanging on both sides, meaning it's being supported by a pole in the middle. And I might have thought, why do you say it's important to say two different cases? Because I might have thought, ma'odetema, you could only say lavud on one end, which would be meshucha as it approaches the other wall. But not from two ends, okay? Kamash malon, even if it's from two ends and it's on a pole and it's not attached to either side, you can use lavud on both ends. Rav Ashi says, look, you don't have to say that. I mean, I don't see why we would need to say that separately. You could say that there are no two cases here. There's one case, mishucha utluya, not or tuluya. So it is both pulled away from the side and it's also above the side, but not into the street. So we can still help Rava. So now the pole is very high, okay, and the pole would keep it all the way up above, or maybe you just put in these brackets at an angle, and you put in two angled brackets on either side, which lift it up and in. So because of that, you don't have more than three tvachim high, it's not three tvachim away from either side of the wall. So why do I need such a complicated case? I'll tell you why. Because over here, in order to be makshir this Korah, I need to utilize two of the chidushim that we know halakha l'mashir mi-Sinai. One of them is lavud, and the other one is chavot. Chavot is another one of your important terminologies. Chavot is based on the dinim that we know halakha l'mashir mi-Sinai, and it means smack it down. Chavot rami is the actual full word, meaning give it a smack and put it where it belongs. So if something is suspended in the air over an area where it belongs, you can effectively push it down so that it comes between the two mechitzas. Now, why do I have the complicated case? Because I might have thought you need to choose whether you're going to apply lavud or whether you're going to apply chavot, but you can't be chavot something and then use the virtual chavot to make it lavud, can you? Kamash Ron, you can, yes. You can put together these two tikkunim. One of them pushes the board down, and the other one stretches it out to the side on either side through lavud. And now you've got a multi-virtual kind of korah. Okay. So ma'atatema o lavud amrinan o chavud amrinan, but you can't put together lavud v'chavud. Yikamashblan, you absolutely can. Okay. So getting back to the issue, can you or can you not carry under the Korah and carry under the Carmelites? So it comes along Rabbi Zakkai, and he's saying over a Braisa in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and he says the area that is between the lechi and the wall, which we call Bein Lechayayim, as I've explained to you, even though we don't need two lechis, except in certain very special places where Machlokas, but basically, normally we talk about one lechi. So that area between the lechi and the wall, or between the Korah, that area is like a Carmelite. And therefore, you're not allowed to carry under it any more than you would be allowed to carry under a Carmelite. Rabbi Yochanan did not like that. And he said, basically what we say in English when we don't like something, we say, get out of here. Right? And that's exactly what he said. Get out of here. So in other words, it's ridiculous. If you want to say a brisa like this, you can go outside and say it. But please don't say it here in front of me. So because of that, apparently he disagrees. So poke Tony Vrog. Get out of here and say it outside. Omer Abaye, well, wait a minute. There were two separate statements over here. One had to do with the Lechi part, and one had to do with the Korah part. Which part didn't Rabbi Yochanan like? I'm assuming that the part that Rabbi Yochanan disagreed with and said to him, get out of here, was the part about not carrying under the Korah. And Rabbi Yochanan, you are allowed to carry under the Korah, but we said before that everybody agrees that you cannot carry between Lechis and the wall, right? I'm assuming that that part he agrees, and he wouldn't have told him to get out of here if that's all he had said. Rava says, No, Rabbi Yochanan actually disagrees with this entire thing, and that's why I told him to get out of here, because otherwise he would have fixed it. So he holds that you are allowed to carry not only under a Korah, you're even allowed to carry under the Lechi, but to the side of the Lechi, and I'll prove it to you, okay? Because remember, we had this earlier, Masechet Shabbat, when Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he said over that he had heard from Rabbi Yochanan and the following. That mokum she'ein bo arba al arba af. So if you have less than four tvachim, by four tvachim, and it's an area right between a rishus harabim and a rishus hayachid, that area is a mokum p'tur. And everybody is allowed to use it. People inside the Rosh HaSayachit can use that area of less than 4x4, and people in Rosh HaRabim can use that area. As long as they don't exchange a hand directly over to people in the opposite type of Roshas, you're not supposed to do that. But, it wouldn't be the disaster if you would. So they didn't aser. So because of that, don't exchange, but you can both use it. If that's the case, says Rava, this is the same kind of thing. That the area that is facing the lechi, to the side of the lechi, is less than 4 tefachim deep. And because of that, it's essentially, this is what you're going to call it, a karmelis. It's a malkum patur. So that means that according to Rabbi Yochanan Beferish, he said middle type areas between a Rosh HaRabim and Rosh HaSayachit, or in this case, between the Rosh HaSayachit of the Mavli and the Rosh HaRabim that the Mavli opens into, it's the same thing. That's the area between the lechi. Okay, so then that means that we view it as being separate from the Mavli. Abaye says, no, wait a second. You can't prove what you're saying over there. And remember that a Malkum Patur has to be 3 tefachim above the ground. Oh, not, Malkum Patur is just part of the ground. And in order to be a Malkum Patur, it needs to be raised above the level of the Rosh HaRabim. And that's not the case over here. Over here, there's no liminal space, right? I mean, where am I going to define the liminal space that isn't raised? And because of that, Rabbi Yochanan would certainly not allow it over here. He allows it over there because I see that I'm not caring for the Rosh HaRabim. How do I see I'm not caring for the Rosh HaRabim if I'm between the Lechi over here or vice versa? Excuse me. Omar Abai, as a matter of fact, I will prove to you that Rabbi Yochanan absolutely prohibits carrying in the area that's facing the Lechi. Because Rav Chama Bar Guria said in the name of Rav, and I have no reason to assume that this is a machlok, because I understand anybody disagree. I certainly never saw Rabbi Yochanan disagree. And what he said, that is, if you have an opening, meaning you have an entry into a mavoi, you can't carry between the two parts of that entryway unless you make another lechi in front of the entryway. Is that, understand? Your picture here. Guys, you see the picture? Because it's too small for me, unfortunately. Benny, you want to just, can you tell everybody where that is? I don't see that case. Yeah, there it is. It's number 62. Oh, they actually have numbers. That's wonderful. Okay. So please take a look at number 62, if you don't mind. So what you have over there, I mean, it's a little bit overdone, but fine. So you have this long mavui, and in the front of the mavui, you've got a partial closure. Now, this may be a little bit misleading over here. I'll explain to you why it's a little misleading in a moment, but let's assume that's the case. So if you want to carry between those two opening areas as part of the entryway, you want to carry in the entryway itself, you need to put another lechi in the entryway in order to be matir, the area behind that lechi, because otherwise you won't have any area to be makir. So if that's the case, and then Rav holds that you've got two lechis here, basically, those big things, those are certainly good enough for lechis, why would I think that Rabbi Yochanan argues on that? And you see that you cannot carry between lechis. Now, if you're going to tell me that that is referring to a big entryway, you see, that's why I don't like this picture, because the picture actually looks like a big entryway, and that's exactly what it isn't. And if it's a big entryway, which is basically 4 tefachim on its own, so it's arba'ah al arba'ah, and that's the reason that it's a problem, because over there, it becomes a carmelite. It's no longer a malkum patur. And you're telling to me that the only reason I'd say Rabbi Yochanan says you can carry is because it's a malkum patur. Actually, it's specifically not that. Because Omer Chonin Barava Omer Rav, Tocha Petach Afa Pisha Ein Bo Arba'a Al Arba'a. When I say you cannot carry in an entryway, I'm not talking about this picture with this big, long entryway. I'm talking about just a tiny little entryway that closes off part, which is, I don't know why they did this. There's no need for that big, area on the side. It's just a little bit of a wall that continues on inside into the door of the mavli. And the deal is that no matter how small that is, if you want to carry kineged it, you need another lechi on the outside of that entryway to be able to hear. So you see, you are not allowed to carry even if it's less than 4 tefachim. Don't give me this stuff about it's being a malkum patur and rava. Rava says, well, now hold on one second a minute. I definitely agree with you about that particular case. But that particular case is talking about a mavoi that is opened onto a Carmelite. Now, this is very counterintuitive. The mavoi is opened onto a Carmelite, and because of that, you cannot carry in the Malkum Patur. So he's going, what are you talking about? You're trying to tell me that if it were Rishus Harabi, which is the real problem, then it's mutter. If it's a Carmelite, then it's usher? That's insane. Yitziva ba'ara v'giyura b'shmei shamaya? I mean, what does that mean? That the local citizens don't have any rights. The only people who have rights are people who just got off a plane from another country. That's nuts. But the Carmelite is the thing that's going to make the problems, and the Rishus Harabim is not the problem? Answers the Gemara, fascinating halacha, which has amazing application, bizman hazeh. And that is, yes, is exactly what I'm telling you. And that is a concept called matzah min et mino v'ne'ur, which we find in many different areas, this idea. And that is that when you have a way to distinguish between items A and B that are very different from each other, we don't view there as being any kind of problem of confusion in a sort of blending of the two areas. But once two things are similar to each other, and a Carmelis and a Malkum Patur are similar to each other, a Malkum Patur and a Rishus Harabim are very different. And there I'm saying that Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, so everybody knows the difference between a Malkum Patur and a Rishus Harabim, for God's sake. But over here we're talking about a Carmelite. I mean, a Carmelite basically could be, you know, the seashore is outside. I mean, you're really going to tell me that you see the difference between the seashore and the area that's focused from Arba al-Arba that makes it a Malkum Patur? No. So because of that, we're going to be more machmer. In the case where the outside of the mavoi is a Carmelite, we're going to say, look, it's too blended with this inside area between the lovely, the lechi. That's not clearly different than what was outside the mavoi. So you got to stop right then and there. You can't use that area because it's as if you're already carrying out into the Carmelite when you keep walking out, you see. What is the difference? Let me give you an example of an amazing halakha that comes up all the time, which is based on exactly this Gemara, an amazing case. The case is, this happens all the time, that you hid your key under your doormat in a city that doesn't have an Erev. So now you're going to pick up the key, you're going to put it into your door, open the door, or let's first unlock the door. Can you open the door with the key in it and bring the key inside? Oh, so you'll say, well, of course I can, because, I mean, after all, the area in front of the door is less than Arba al-Arba. I usually have this threshold area, so that's a Malkum Patur, and I am allowed to move from a Malkum Patur into my house, so therefore I can take the key inside, right? Wrong. It depends. If your door is located on a major avenue, which is Rishus Harabim, then you'd be right. But since your door is probably not that way, and it's probably part of a Carmelite, then you're bedafka not allowed to take the key inside your door. You're going to have to remove it from the door and put it back under the mat, which is very, very inconvenient, or it's very convenient for people who want to break into your home, but it's certainly inconvenient for you as the owner. And that's exactly because we paskin this answer that Rava just said, that in fact, matzah min admino v'neor is a very significant issue. Okay, now, by the way, don't be somech on answering that lahalacha, because there's a lot of issues. You know, it depends. Your door may well have been also on the top of some steps, and that would have changed everything. Then it wouldn't have been directly from a Carmelite. Okay, but I'm just saying, theoretically, there's going to be cases where this is very nagia. Amalei Rav Huna b'Reda Rav Yoshua l'Rava. I don't understand. You really believe that Bein HaLechayim is mutter? You don't hold that Bein HaLechayim is usher? I know that Rabbi Bar Bar Chana quoted Rabbi Yochanan himself, and you're claiming Rabbi Yochanan says it's okay, that if you went ahead and you lined the entire wall of a mavoi with lechis, so basically you paneled your mavoi with lechis, and you put each one within 4 tvachim of the next lechi. So it's very cute. Again, please, it's picture 63, okay? So in picture 63, you've got a lot of lechis, and it's a beautiful design, it looks really nice. And now the question is, the spaces between each one of those lechis was less than Arba Tvachim. Rabbi Yochanan himself says this would bring us directly to the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who says that less than four is lavud, so then the halacha over here is that you're only allowed to utilize the inner side most of the inside most lechi, because that means that this whole thing is one lechi, because they're all attached, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. But according to Rabbanan, who say you don't say lavud once it's more than three, then it's no problem. The only one which is the legal lechi is the outside most lechi. So according to them, you would be able to use the inside end of the outermost lechi. Okay? But please notice, you certainly cannot utilize the area between the lechis, and this is Rabbi Yochanan who's saying this. Now, how in the world are you going to claim to me that Rabbi Yochanan says you're allowed to use the areas between the lechis? Says Rava, yeah, well, I already told you, man. I told you the answer. There it's talking about that it was open to a Carmelite. What? A Carmelite? That's crazy. You're telling me a Rishus HaRabim would be mutter? How could that be? Again, this was obviously not said at the same time, because otherwise we're just repeating ourselves. Yitziva b'arav v'giyura b'shmei shemayim. Well, we only give citizen rights to people just off of a plane? Yes, because motzamin et mino v'neur, exactly as I explained to you before. So it's same idea. Rav Ashi says, this is not the issue. I have a very simple explanation. The case in picture 63 is talking about that the entire wall of the Mavoi was lined with these lechis, and it was for four amot. Oh, ha-ha! Remember the way we started the first discussion that we had on lechis. What was the first discussion? A lechi that's four amot long cannot be used as a lechi. Why? Because since it's long enough itself to be the wall of a mavui, it loses its shame of a lechi and becomes a mavui. That, in fact, that was a bias raya, if you recall, that the length of a mavui is arba amos. It was goofy based on that din, right? Okay, so then, if that's the case over here, everything adds up very simply. According to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who holds you say lavud, so then this wall is not a lechi at all. It's a mavui. And therefore, you need another lechi bechlal to be matan a mavui. Not because you need the lechi to be matter to move the area between the lechis. You need it because you don't have any lechi. According to Rabbanan, who say that three and only three is the measurement of love, of non-love, but four, up to a four, is certainly not included. So then fine. So then I do not have one long lechi of four amos. I have separate pieces of wood, and therefore I can use my outside lechi. That's for sure. Now, we're taking into consideration one additional issue now, which is going to lead us directly smack bang into that problem that we raised earlier about something that is nikar mibachutz and it's not nikar mibifnim. It's shoven mibifnim. So the reason that it takes us to this is because of an assumption. And the assumption is based on standard architectural practice. Standard architectural practice is that, and I like Akiva's drinks much more than Barnea's, so it's really wonderful. I mean, you can actually smell the coffee in Akiva's. I mean, Barnea's just sits there and just reminds you it's liquid. What a difference. Watch that steam. This was Re'uchi Batchem Lefnei HaMakom. This is the way the Gemara talks about the Shulchan, and that was the Raya, that they could actually see the steam rising from the Shtei HaLechem. Barnea, you've been outdone. And you a Kohen to beat.
And he's saying the steam is an eight.
You got to be a real Ashkenazi to go for that one. Okay. So anyway, and so now, let me tell you something. The norm would be that when you put a lechi at the edge of your mavui, what you do is you make it a pretty lechi. And it sort of goes around the wall. Right? So you put it around the edge of the lechi, it sticks out a little bit, and then it becomes like a corner bracket, so, well, not a bracket, we call those things in the picture molding. So it becomes sort of like a molding, which is visible in Rosh Hashanah as you're walking by. Okay, so now I understand your problem in this case, but assuming that the molding that was lined with these lechis also did the normal thing, and the last lechi that was next to the street came around the edge a little bit, and now I had a visible lechi. If I'm walking outside on the street, I could see that piece sticking out a little bit from the mavui. Okay, so now the problem is that according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, who says the reason that it's not a good lechi is because it can't count as a lechi since it's arba amos, the way that you just explained it, right? But that's all only the problem on the inside of the mavui. But from the outside of the mavui, people can see it. So why isn't it the equivalent of nir'emi bachutz v'shavebi bifnim? And that would make it a good enough lechi because it's visible from the outside, even though I don't see it from the inside, because the inside it lost its shame lechi and turned into a wall. Says the Gemara, well, wait a minute. You forgot how we got into this whole discussion, man. We were trying to figure out what the din would be according to Rabbi Yochanan, right? We were coming to explain why it was that Rabbi Yochanan all of a sudden was talking about Dafka according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, right? But the problem is, the problem is that when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that Nirami Bechutzim Shabbat Bebifnim is not kosher. So what's your problem? Everything works out fine. This is Rabbi Yochanan Lashitato. So he's completely consistent over here. If I can see it from the outside, that doesn't make it a lefi. And since we're talking like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, on the inside it's not a lefi because it's four amos long. So forget it. You don't have any lefi, okay? Now, the question is, bichlal. This leads us into the actual main issue, which we're going to start for the first time. We've accessed this discussion, but we never focused on this discussion. So itma. Now, here's how it all starts. A lechi that can be seen from the inside of the mavi and cannot be seen from the outside of the mavi. Okay, so that would be a case where you didn't make it a corner. What was the word I used? Crazy.
Molding.
Thank you. Well, you didn't make it a corner molding, okay? And you just had it right up against the edge. So now, as I'm walking down the street, I have no idea that I'm looking at a lechi. I mean, it looks to me like I'm looking at a wall, right? So I don't see the lechi. But when I'm inside of the mavoi, as I'm approaching the wall of the mavoi, I see there's a little stick that's sticking out along the wall, which is making the wall wider, okay? So if it's visible from the inside and it's not visible from the outside, that for sure is good. Because as we said, the main idea of the Eker of the lechi, which serves two purposes, is the lechi from the inside of the mavoi, not from the outside of the mavoi. But how about the opposite? How about if I can see it inside, but I don't see it outside? And that's the case we were just talking about. The lechi is so long, it's basically part of the wall of the mavoi, but it comes around the edge, and now as I'm walking outside, I see, oh, wow, that's nice. So they've got a lechi over here. What will be the din over there? Ah, so there we've got a machlokas. Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon bar Rebbe argue. We don't know who says what, but we do know that one of them says it's Nidon Mishum Lechi, and one of them says it's not Nidon Mishum Lechi. Wait a minute. What do you mean you don't know who said what? I know who said what. I don't understand why you don't know who said what. It's obviously it was Reb Chiya was the one who said that it is Nidon Mishum Lechi, because Reb Chiya was the one who said the following bright, okay? To Tani Rebbe Chiya, if you have a kota, shetzido echad kanus mechaveiro, Bein shenira mi bachutz v'shava mi bifnim, and bein shenira mi bifnim v'shava b'bachutz, that would be perfectly okay, mishum lechi. I'm assuming this is picture 64, although I might have messed up on some of your pictures. Hold on. Shoot. Okay. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. One minute.
67?
Okay, thanks. All right, I'll take your word for it. So what you see over there is that You can have basically a wall that can come in, and therefore it's visible on the outside, but on the inside it seems to be flush up against it, or just the opposite. You could have a lechi that you could see on the inside, but on the outside you have no idea that the wall actually extended. Reb Chiya said in the Braita that it's Nidon Mishum Lechi. Okay, doesn't that prove that he's the one who holds that even though it's only Nirabi Bachutz, it's perfectly okay? So what's the problem over here? Yeah. Gosh, didn't Rabbi Yochanan know that? I mean, why did he say then against the Braita? He said before that such a lechi isn't kosher. Didn't you say that Rabbi Yochanan was quoted when they came from Eretz Yisrael, that a lechi like that isn't kosher? What about the Braita? So obviously he heard this Braita. I mean, is that they didn't hear this Braita? He thought that the Braita was not a reliable Braita. So maybe Reb Chiya also, maybe Reb Chiya quoted the Braita, but he doesn't hold this Braita. That's why we said we're not sure who personally is the one who holds that Shita. Oh, come on, says the Gemara. What kind of Reb Chiya was the one who took it upon himself to check out the Braitas, remember? It's any Braita that Reb Chiya and Reb Oshia didn't check off on and say is a good Braita, you don't rely on. So if Reb Chiya himself quoted this Braita, don't tell me that he thought it was wrong. That's nuts. You could say Reb Yochanan thought it was wrong, okay. Bishlam Reb Yochanan, you could say, Lo Shravalam Shemachin Lo Tanila. He didn't say this Braita, but Reb Chiya, he was the one who said this Braita. So E.U. Lo Shravalam Lo Misa. Why would he say over a Braita that he held was wrong? That doesn't make any sense, Bichlal. Omar Rabba Baravuna, Nirami Bechutz Rishavim Bibifnim, says Rabba Baravuna, Reb Chiya is 100% correct, and that is 100% a kosher Braita. Now, says Rabba, aha! But this is exactly the problem that we had in the Mishnah later on, where we have a contradiction to this whole idea. And I don't understand, why are we ignoring the Mishnah? It's the Mishnah we spoke about before. A chatzer ketana shenifrat saligidola. Okay, now what do you tell me the din is over there? You have a small chatzer, or a small room that opens up into a larger room. And the din is over there. If you're standing in the larger chatzer, then you see on either side of the entry to the smaller room, you see wall, right? Kifufe. The din is over there that they do not have to make an Erev with that other chatzer, because it's a separate chatzer. There's an entryway into it. So the gedola is muteris, they could keep carrying. But the people in the ketana, since their wall is completely now flush with what appears to be the outside, they're going to need to make an Erev with these people. If these people don't want to make an Erev with them, they're not going to be able to carry in their own chatzer either. For all types of purposes, it's subsumed by the larger room. It's like an entry into the larger room. Now, if you're going to tell me that a lechi that I see only from the outside is nonetheless kosher from the inside, now how the heck to explain the Mishnah, for God's sake? Can I see the lechi from the outside? You said I can. You said the people in the chatzar, they see a lechi on either side. They don't have to make an Erev with that smaller room. Okay, then the smaller room doesn't have to make an Erev with them either, because you said a lechi that's visible on the outside is also kosher for the inside. You're ignoring a Pharisee Mishnah. It's insane what you're saying. The whole Mishnah, you could throw it into the garbage if you're going to tell me if it's visible from one side, it's good for both sides. That's the whole point of the Mishnah, for heaven's sakes. So, im isa ketana nami nishter tishtere, because it's nearer me bechutz for shava me befim, for heaven's sakes. So what are you talking about? Omer Rebbe Zera, ha-ha! It is time, my dear friends, to learn to read a Mishnah properly. It doesn't say in the Mishnah that the walls were nice and smooth and ended up being just a small box, which then opens up into a larger box. No. What's talking about over here is that the small box extends into the larger box, which means it's got pieces sticking out into the larger room. And therefore, nichnasim kotlei haktana legedola, so the lechis that I can see from the outside are not in any way part of the sidewalls of the small chatzer. They're maybe 10 feet in front of them. I can't use those as being the lechis for that sidewall. That's a completely different issue, bichlal. And therefore, they're not kosher according to anybody as a lechi. Well, I mean, couldn't we just view them as being attached to the walls on the side? I mean, you're right, they're sticking out. Let's say they're 10 feet sticking out in front. But how far are they from the sides of the large walls? I mean, they might be within lavud. So can't it be lavud? And don't try to tell me, no, they're not close enough to be lavud. They're not close enough. Chitam l'mifugetuva. The point is that Rav Ada Bar Avimi said in front of Chanina, you should know that the case in that Mishnah is there's not even three tvachim on either side, because we're talking about over here the small chatzer is 10 amas wide and the large chatzer is 11 amas wide, which leaves you a total of 6 tvachim on either side, and you have to take into consideration the thickness of the wall that's jutting in, which means that it is lavud because it's less than 3 tvachim from either side. So why does the Mishnah say that it isn't kosher as a lechi on the inside? Because now it is directly, it's contiguous with that wall. I mean, albeit it's contiguous with the lavud wall, but lavud walls are kosher walls. So why isn't that a perfectly good lechi? Amar Ravina, I mean, even if it's 6, surely you know how to add. I mean, 6 could be 2 and 4. It doesn't have to be 3 and 3 minus the thickness of the wall, right? So if it's 2 and 4, so then that means it only has lavud on one side. So you're only going to have one lechi, and one lechi is not enough to use on a chatzer. Remember, chatzers require 2 lechis. Why can't you say lavud miruach echad is enough? Because we're basically going according to the shita that holds, like Rebbe, that on a chatzer, you have to have 2 lechis. Shnei pasim, one on either side.